word for word translation, yatra in the Vaikuntha planets, naishreyasam auspicious, nama named, vanam forests, kamadugai yielding desire, drumai with trees, sarva all, ritu seasons, shribi with flowers and fruits, vibrajat splendid, kaivalyam spiritual, eva as, murtimat personal. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki. In those Vaikuntha planets, there are many forests which are very auspicious. In those forests, the trees are desire trees, and in all seasons they are filled with flowers and fruits, because everything in the Vaikuntha planets is spiritual and personal. Please repeat after me. In those Vaikuntha planets, there are many forests which are very auspicious. In those forests, the trees are desire trees, and in all seasons they are filled with flowers and fruits, because everything in the Vaikuntha planets is spiritual and personal. Purport. In the Vaikuntha planets, the land, the trees, the fruits and flowers and the cows, everything is completely spiritual and personal. The trees are desire trees. On this material planet, the trees can produce fruits and flowers according to the order of material energy. But in the Vaikuntha planets, the trees, the land, the residents, and the animals are all spiritual. There is no difference between the tree and the animal, or the animal and the man. Here the word murtimat indicates that everything has a spiritual form. Formlessness, as conceived by the impersonalists, is refuted in this verse. In the Vaikuntha planets, although everything is spiritual, everything has a particular form. The trees and the men have form, and because all of them, although differently formed, are spiritual, there is no difference between them. Verse again. Yatra naśrayasam nama vanam kama dugar drumai sarva tu shribir vibrajat kaivalyam eva murtimat. In those Vaikuntha planets, there are many forests which are very auspicious. In those forests, the trees are desire trees, and in all seasons, they are filled with flowers and fruits, because everything in the Vaikuntha planets is spiritual and personal. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadata Shiva Sadigoda Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So there's not a lot of books that you get that describe the kingdom of God. Bhagavatam is just starting off. We're just in the third canto, and already we're hearing descriptions of what Vaikuntha is like. Many people, many religions describe heaven in various ways. Some people think it's a collection of virgins that you can go and enjoy. That's their motivation. Some people think it's a swaga-like destination, which is actually what heaven is, which is also based on sense gratification. Also pretty much the same thing. Drinking, relaxing, sunbathing with your girlfriends. But this is beyond that. This is way beyond that. And this is just the beginning of Bhagavatam. Right in the beginning of Bhagavatam, also we're hearing about Krishna's pastimes in various places. Vyasadeva is such a wonderful author, and Bhagavatam really is the ripened fruit of the whole canon of Vedic literature, millions of verses condensed into the Bhagavatam, just given to us on a plate. Even in the first canto, he's talking about the Pandavas and Krishna, Krishna's pastimes, right, in the first canto. Right, even if you distribute the first part of the first canto, still has like Krishna's pastimes in there. So it really is the essence of everything. And what to speak of direct knowledge and information about Krishna, now we're hearing about the ultimate destination, which most people have never heard of. Most people don't even have a conception of the spiritual world. Like the highest that you get is the heavenly planets or heaven. So how fortunate we are to have this in front of us. And it's describing quite scientifically, not quite scientifically, it's describing in quite a lot of detail in about 10 verses here how the spiritual world works. So we're hearing about the pastime of Jaya and Vijaya, actually. We're hearing about the Kumaras, how they wanted to go to the spiritual world, and they got to the gates of Vaikuntha, but they couldn't get in. And this is the description here of how the Kumaras went to the gates of the spiritual world. But there's a lot of detail here, just like there's a lot of detail in Brihadbhagavatamrita. Gopakumar goes to Vaikuntha, and he sees the different inhabitants of the spiritual world. He sees how they're changing form at will. He sees how they're flying around in different airplanes, which are also changing their form. And each different airplane that comes is better than the one that was previous to it. So it's all quite mind-boggling, but should also be very inspiring that such wonderful places exist. It says here, actually, it's quite similar to what it describes in Brihadbhagavatamrita. In the Vaikuntha planets, the inhabitants fly in their airplanes, accompanied by their wives and consorts, and eternally sing of the character and activities of the Lord, which are always devoid of all inauspicious activities. While singing the glories of the Lord, they deride even the presence of the blooming Madhavi flowers, which are fragrant and laden with honey. So do we actually appreciate what we're being given? It's difficult to understand, right? It's like if you go up to an ant and you give it a laptop. It's like, what is the ant going to understand about the laptop? He's going to walk across it. He's going to see if there's anything sweet on it. He's going to see it as an obstacle. But we're being given the spiritual world here. Srila Prabhupada has translated the Bhagavatam, and he's giving us in English, like a language of the Malechas, the highest perfection of the Vedic culture. I was saying in class a few weeks ago that in Satyuga, they don't get what we're getting. Anarpita chirim chirat kuruna yavatir na kalo samarpayatumana tojbala vasam swabhakti shriyam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give the highest thing, the most radiant and sublime mellow of love of God, the mellow of conjugal love. So he's giving us Rajabhakti. I was saying in class before that they didn't used to worship Radha and Krishna on the altar, right, in general, before the Goswamis came. They would worship Krishna in other sampradayas, although Nimbarka sampradaya also worship Radha and Krishna. In general, they're worshipping Vaikuntha. So can we appreciate what it is that Srila Prabhupada is put on our laps, giving us right here? The problem is that we don't. The problem is that we don't appreciate it. And the evidence is when we chant japa. The evidence is when we chant japa, we sit down with Nama Namino, the holy name which is non-different than Krishna, and we think about other things. And why do we think about other things? Why do you think that is? Any suggestions? Come on, guys. Why, when we sit down to chant japa, do we think of other things? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Our mind is our heart. Our mind is our heart, and at heart we're kind of attached to material things, therefore we go to that consciously.
Yeah. Vitera tamyat pratyeta, na pratyeta chatmani, tadvidyadatmano mayam yatabhaso yatatamaha. Whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relationship to me, No, it is my illusory energy, that reflection which appears to be in darkness. So this is one of the Chatur Shloki of Bhagavatam. Whatever appears to be of any value, right? We think it's valuable. We think I'm going to get something there. I'm going to get some taste. I'm going to get some happiness. I'm going to get something valuable. I value that thing, so I think of it. Right? You're not going to chant japa and think of something that you think is unimportant. It comes up, bubbles up from the heart because we're attached to that, because we think it's important. So it's a gradual process of purification and transformation and change that we're gradually letting go. It's like we have our hand. Sometimes you see that as a dead body, and it's like its hand is clasped like this, or it's clasped around something. Like it's gradually, you know, loosening that hridaya granti, that material attachment, gradually loosening it. Our faith has been smashed so many times in the material world, in material objects, in material things, through suffering, right? It's Krishna's mercy. In the heavenly planets, their faith is being cultivated in the mature world. It's okay, it's nice, you relax. Yeah, demons come now and again, but you know, you've got your girlfriends, like I was saying, you've got your, what is it they drink there? Somaras. Oh, you guys were quick with that one. Yeah, they drink their somaras. Not available in Radharani's bakery as of yet. They've got rivers of mango juice. So many wonderful things there. My spiritual master says, better devotees don't get regressions because they may well have been demigods in their previous lives, and if they see that, then they can become attracted to that again. So Prabhupada said, most of my disciples will go to the heavenly planets. But the good news is, I also heard a quote very recently from Prabhupada. He said, for my initiated disciples, which none of us are, maybe online, then maximum, it will be maximum 3 lives before they get back to the spiritual world. It's a nice quote. So our faith in the material world becomes smashed. If you just look at the news, it can become smashed pretty quickly that you can enjoy in this material world. But speaking for myself, we're so foolish that even though it keeps getting smashed every day, still we're attached. A good example is getting married and that marriage failing and then getting married again after that. It's just there. It's the attachment is there, right? It's like you're attached even though you've gone through it. You've experienced the troubles. You've experienced the suffering, say, in an unsuccessful marriage. I'm not saying all marriages are full of suffering. Although I'm not saying that they're not. Then you go through it and you come out the other end and it's, you know, a load of misery. But again, you want to do it again. Why? Because you don't have a taste for something high. You can't give it up. The example is given. If I come to you and you have some apples, I say, give me your apples. You're going to say, yeah, I'm going to give you my apples, my valuable apples. Why should I give them to you? But if I come with a mango or whatever it is you like, pineapple, then we can swap. Then it's going to work. Vishaya vinivartante nirahadasya dehinaha rasavarajam rasopyasya padam drishtva nivartate. But the problem is that we get some taste, but the taste isn't enough. Right? We're getting some taste. We're getting enough taste that we're going to put on a dhoti, that we're going to, for Westerners, we're going to give up our whole culture and like go in the opposite direction to how we were trained and brought up in our childhoods. But is the taste enough to give up everything? Sarva dhammam padachaja mamekam shadanam vaja. Is it enough to do that? Are you attracted enough? And there's different levels. So with nishta, there's nishta in actions. Okay, so I'm not going down the pub. I'm not going down the casino. I'm not watching TV. Okay, good. I'm chanting Hare Krishna. I'm associating with devotees, of Krihastas. You know, I'm doing my job, but doing my sadhana. Very good. Next level. your words. Now, what do you say? How nishta are you in your speech? There's many dangers. When we come into a devotee association, of course, devotee association is wonderful and it's the highest gift, but there's also many pitfalls. When we come in devotee association, what is the biggest danger? Aparad, yeah. So it's a natural tendency when we're conditioned souls to, when we come to somebody and we talk about somebody else, right? We talk about a third person. Oh, this devotee is like this. I'm not like that. This devotee was sleeping during japa. This devotee, his dhoti was all twisted up at the back. He's in maya. That's the tendency. But it's not a joke. It's really not a joke. One time I asked Jaya Dwaita Maharaj in a class that, you know, it says, Naha bikramanashosti pratyavayana vidyate svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bayat. But in this endeavor, there's no loss or diminution, right? We hear that. You perform devotional service, that's their eternal investment in your bank account, never going to be lost. No, you know, war, no bank crash, nothing can diminish that spiritual advancement. It's always going to be there. But we also hear that the mad elephant offense, committing Vaishnava parad, destroys all of our devotional activities, right? Destroys all of our devotional kripa. So I asked Maharaj, I said, how is that, that it's eternal, but then it can get destroyed? And Krishna's emphasizing. He said, this was his answer. He said, it's eternal and never lost unless you make Vaishnava parad. That's what he says. So it's capable of just chucking it away. And we see that so many times, right? Devotees who have been around a few years, how many devotees leave Krishna consciousness? Now we're all here, everybody's a Bhagavatam class, very nice, so many brahmacharis, very nice, but easily we can reel off a list of 10, 20 devotees that we knew who were very nice devotees, who were fired up, distributing so many books, giving Bhagavatam classes, gurus, leaders, sannyasis, and where are they now? So it can easily happen. We come to the association of devotees, and unless we're very careful, how does that verse go, Govinda? Like, sadhus, be careful. There's a particular verse. Sadhus, be alert, be aware. Be always conscious, because it's a razor's edge. Spiritual life is a razor's edge. It's said that attachment to devotees opens up the door for liberation. You know that verse? I should learn that. So yeah, it opens up the doors for liberation, but at the same time, if you make offenses to devotees, that was the only pseudo qualification of Jagai and Madai. They've done everything else, right? Raped, murdered, stolen. But they'd never made offenses to devotees, so they could accept the seed of devotional service. So we have to be careful. We're in close association with devotees, especially brahmacharis living in the brahmachari ashram. Very close association, 24 hours a day with other devotees, always associating with devotees. And here we have devotees from Slovakia, right? Slovakia, Scotland. Where are you from, Peru? Tarun, Peru? Don't remember anymore. So many different places. Huh? Okay. So like when I was a brahmachari in Soho, we had like everybody from everywhere, like hardly anybody from England. It was like, I didn't feel like I was in England whatsoever. Living in London, the capital of England, for like 8 years, I didn't feel like I was in England. I was like with Croatians, Americans, Bengalis. It wasn't like it was England, and we were all like the opposite of each other. There wasn't really anybody who was like kind of you would go to school with, you know, just grow up like similar karma. Everyone was like totally opposite to each other. And And it's challenging, right? Because you can't understand each other, you can't relate to each other. The only thing that is in common is in Krishna consciousness. So we have to be very careful. We always have to wear this verse around our neck, Trinadapi Sunechena, Tarodapi Sahishnina, Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. So we don't expect any respect for ourselves, and we offer all respect to others. Very difficult. It's like the hardest yoga posture. Nothing for me, everything for you. Like there's one instance, Radhana Swami was giving the example that if somebody comes to you and says, Prabhu, I've had this various times from my spiritual master as well. Prabhu, you're not chanting japa properly. Wonder what it came to me. Maybe you've noticed it when I chant japa. He says, and he recorded it. Senior devotee in Hungary. And I'm not saying he was wrong. It's just an instance of, you know, something that happened in my spiritual life. He said, when you chant Hare Krishna and you whistle, you're like whistling when you say Krishna. And he recorded it and played it back to me and said, it's not good. You have to do something about it. My spiritual master said to me once, it was in Turkey. I was in the car with him and I was chanting japa really quietly. And he said, there's something wrong with the way you say Ram. I think I was saying Ram instead of Rama or something like that. He didn't elaborate, but he said that. So His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj said, when someone comes to you and says, you know, you're doing this wrong, you know, it's not good how you're doing it, or whatever they say, you know, you're ugly or you're stupid, or whatever it may be, somebody could say that. Maybe it's on the street or whatever, or your wife or whoever it may be, your enemy. Then we say, Prabhu or Mataji, thank you. Thank you for your help. If you knew how many problems I actually have in my heart, this is just the tip of the iceberg. You know what you're saying now, how I don't chant japa properly, or I'm offensive, or I'm arrogant, or I'm just useless in general. You're totally right. And actually, there's so much more to that topic. I can elaborate if you want. I could write a book about it. I can give a class about that or a seminar. So thank you for just noticing that little part and not getting into the whole thing, because I know it's a really bad production, my life. Thank you for being so kind that you're just mentioning that. I'll really try and work on that and become humble and improve on that. So thank you. I really appreciate the help. It would be nice, right, if it was easy to do that. That is what a devotee would do. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, I don't remember what Manjari he is, Nitya Siddha, eternal associate of the Lord, Manjari, writer of Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says, I'm lower than Jagai and Madai. I'm lower than a worm in stool. A devotee thinks like that. But the mind doesn't think like that, right? The conditioned mind doesn't think like that. The conditioned mind, at least my mind, sees other devotees and thinks, find some reason to conjure up the image that you're better than them. Some reason, desperately looking for some reason. How am I better? Somehow or another, I must be better than that devotee. So, in that instance, the mind is our enemy. The mind is not our friend. And how can you go back there, take part in all this fun, fly your airplane, see these birds and these trees which are spiritual, that it says in the purport, there is no difference between the tree and the animal, or the animal and the man. Here the word Murtimat indicates that everything has a spiritual form. It's inconceivable. It's, you know, spiritual energy. Like this question comes up, if everything's spiritual and personal in the spiritual world, how do you eat something? You know, what happens to it? Right? If I'm an apple in the spiritual world and you eat me, what do I become then? Because I've got an eternal spiritual form, right? Like you eat it and you don't eat it. It like still stays in your hand. Like you eat it and it's like doesn't go anywhere. Like, put me down, you know, this is my eternal spiritual form you're messing with here. Who knows? Inconceivable. Spiritual world is totally inconceivable. material world is inconceivable. How is it that the soul, which has zero connection to the material body, it's just inconceivable how Krishna's energies work. Krishna is like sticking the material body to the soul, maintaining the body. It's like, it's a whole thing, you know. We think it's normal, like, I'm this material body. You're not this body, you're a soul and you have a spiritual identity. Krishna like creates this material body around the soul to create that illusion that that's you, so you can live in a virtual reality in this material world and connect to other bodies and sense objects and fail, so you can understand that I'm actually a soul. It's so weird how the body exists around the soul, if you actually think about it. It's a miracle how Krishna does it. So what to speak of the spiritual world? How can we understand the spiritual world? But if we don't qualify ourselves, then we're not going to go there, right? The people in Vaikuntha are not thinking, my airplane's better than his airplane, you know? I'm more beautiful than him. No, they're thinking the opposite. So we have to develop. We have to advance step by step so we do become qualified. And that's the struggle. I was just learning this first the other day, but I didn't finish learning it. How does it start? Udhared. Anybody know this one? Udhared atmanatmanam natmanam avasadayet. Yeah, I got the first two lines at least. Udhared atmanatmanam. Dri means to lift, right? To carry, to hold, and ud means up. Udhared atmanatmanam. You have to raise yourself, you have to lift your soul, your atma, with your other atma, with your mind. You have to lift it up, raise it up. Udhared atmanatmanam. Natmanam avasadayet. Don't drag it down. Avasadayet means like degrade it. Natmanam. Don't do that with the mind. So the mind is like the joy pad. I haven't said that word for a long time. Like, boom. You know what I mean, right? Like the controller when you have video games. Joystick, yeah. Joystick, that's the mind. Mind is carrying the soul. We're just getting the body because the mind was into it. Mind was like, yeah, I like that. I want a Slovakian body. That would be cool. I want to be a man. Yeah, I want to be a man. Who knows what we were in our last life? Maybe we were a tree. We were like, yeah, that would be so cool. I want to be like an Englishman. Look at those Englishmen. They're having such a good time over there. Looking down at all the Englishmen. Yeah, I want to be one of them. Because we were into it. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tyajat yante kalevaram. Krishna is fulfilling the desires, right, of the living entities. I want to do this. I want to move to America. That would be really cool. Krishna's like, okay, if you have the ID card, then you can go. Krishna is just fulfilling what we want. Yanti deva varata devan, pitrin yanti pitri varataha. Bhutani sarva bhuteja yajino piyanti mam. It's like, you go here if you want, you can go there, you can do whatever you want. If you want to come to me, if you want to worship me, if you want to remember me, then you come to me. And just the problem is that most of us, then we're practicing devotional service externally. Yeah, we're doing that, right? We're doing that with our bodies. Are we doing that with our words? You can break it down. How much percentage Bhagavad Gita talks about speech in the different modes of material nature? What is speech in the mode of ignorance? I don't remember. Harsh. Is that mode of passion? Speech in the mode of ignorance. You know, hurtful. Harsh. Causing pain to others. I know that's one of my faults. My Sangatan leader, when I was a brahmachari, said, you have a sharp tongue. My wife will corroborate that. You have to speak nicely. Mode of goodness, speak nicely, speak pleasing words. And what else do you do? Anybody remember from the Bhagavad Gita? Yeah? Yeah? There's another nice one. Yeah? I mean, quoting Shastra as well. Quoting scripture. So how easy is it when we're with devotees to talk about Krishna? Not that easy. Maybe it's easier when you're a brahmachari, you're all in the same bubble. When you're not a brahmachari and you come together with devotees, it's usually like, oh, this is happening. this person's ill, or my back hurts, or my job is happening with this, or this devotee did that. But how often do we talk about Krishna? I think this is a really actionable point. When we come to devotees, even non-devotees, how much do we talk about Krishna? How much do we quote Shastra and talk about that and discuss that? That helps us to come to Nishta, because it's not just the external activities. I'm going to take prasadam, you know, I'm going to walk to the temple, I'm going to chant my japa, but a little bit higher. It's more connected to the mind. How much am I valuing Krishna Katha? So how much am I prioritizing it? How much am I actioning it? That when I talk to others, then we talk about something beneficial, right? I was talking to one devotee the other day, and it was very nice. We're talking about Krishna conscious topics, very nice Krishna conscious topics. And then he was talking about some devotees, and just the whole taste of the conversation just changed. You know, it was so sweet before, very, very sweet. And he talks about some devotees and what those devotees are like doing or not doing. And it's like this whole taste of the conversation becomes like Kerala, you know, becomes bitter. It's like, ugh. And then we stop talking about that. Talk about Krishna Kataga, and it's very, very sweet and very, very nice. So if we want to get to Nishta where we're always thinking of Krishna and we're always liberated and we're always happy, then that's the stepping stone, that vacha, our words. Because that's where we want to be. Mamcha yovya bicharena, bhakti yogena sevate, sagunan samatitya. No, what's the next line? No, that's Brahmabhuta prasanatma, isn't it? Okay. Mamcha yovya bicharena, bhakti yogena sevate, sagunan samatitya itan, Brahmabhuyaya kalpate. Okay. So if you're fixed, if you're thinking of Krishna, then what's the natural result? You're liberated, not in the modes of material nature, right? Because you're absorbed in Krishna, you're not doing anything else. And it's the same here, that this is open to us. Like the doors are open. They're totally open to the spiritual world. It's right here. We're getting details of the spiritual world. What's there? What's happening? And our destination, if you can even say it, it's even higher than Vaikuntha. It's an amazing thing to say. That if we follow in the line of our acharyas, we're going to go to an even more wonderful place than Vaikuntha. The doors are open. And it's open because we're Krishna conscious. If you're Krishna conscious, then everything else is there. Shraddha Shabde Vishwas Kohe Sudrita Nishchoy Krishna Bhakti Koile Sarva Karma Kritohe. So if you're serving Krishna, everything else is there. Which includes all of Krishna's opulences, includes all the nice, you know, perks, all the nice benefits, 5-star room in Vaikuntha. It's not important for devotees because they want Krishna. If you're Krishna conscious, if you're chanting Krishna's names, if you're meditating on Krishna, then where are you going to go? Yanti deva vrata devan pitrin yanti pitri vrataha. It's logical. So all of this is like, it's natural consequence of being Krishna conscious. So that's the only challenge, that we have to become Krishna conscious. And then it's all there. Easy. Just have to become Krishna conscious. But it is a long process. It takes time. It takes purification. But it's possible. And I think that one thing also that's very important for devotees is to believe that it's possible to become Krishna conscious. Because we see a lot of examples where it doesn't happen, right? Like I mentioned, the gurus that leave, the devotees that leave, or that devotees practice Krishna consciousness for a long period of time, but they don't get the results that they should be getting. So that affects our faith, right? That anatta nivritti is eternal. That's just, you know, I'm just going to be lusty, depressed, angry, anxious forever, despite practicing Krishna consciousness. That's not correct. You're doing something wrong. Prabhupada said, if you're not happy in Krishna consciousness, then you're doing something wrong. That can be a bitter pill to swallow, right? I'm chanting my 16 rounds, you know, I'm fired up. Why are you not happy in Krishna consciousness? And it may not be that it can be something that's rectified immediately. It may be something that takes years. But the process works. And if we practice it correctly, then the result will be there. And it shouldn't take forever. It shouldn't take forever for devotees to get freed from anartas, come to steady devotional service, and the stages beyond that as well. It shouldn't take forever. If we do it correctly, if we're making an effort, like when we're chanting our japa, how do we chant our japa? Are we chanting our japa and the mind, and we're chanting Hare Krishna, and the mind goes somewhere? How far does it go, right? How far do you let it go? How far does it take you? How long does it take you to realize that I'm not being attentive? That's a question we have to ask ourselves. You know, are we chanting japa? And we've all done it. I do it also. We chant japa and then you've kind of even forgotten that you're supposed to be attentive. You're just doing japa because you do japa. And you're thinking about all other things. And you've even forgotten that you're supposed to be like just hearing the holy name and not doing anything else. Because that is the litmus test, is your japa. And there was one devotee who said, I judge a devotee by his japa. Nice kirtan, plays nice madanga, can be a nice speaker, big book distributor, but how's your japa? And we, you know, it's not easy to see. You can only see the externals, but we know ourselves, right? How attentive is my japa? It's like stripped down, naked, you know, spiritual life. No music, no attention, no cloth, you know, silk dhoti. You know, how's your japa? Can you chant attentively? And if you can't, then get on it, you know. I heard different quotes recently from Srila Prabhupada and Gaur Govinda Maharaj. Interesting quotes. And they were saying that don't chant japa during the day. Only chant... Prabhupada said that to one devotee. He said, don't count your rounds that you chant during the day when the mode of passion is prevalent. Very difficult to chant attentively. Chant in the morning or finish in the evening. It was to Shruti Kirti, he said. And Prabhupada said, I finish them in the evening. He said that to Shruti Kirti. So how careful we have to be. It's such an art. Like these days, there's not much art left. It's all computers doing everything, and it's getting even worse with AI. Yesterday we were doing one landscaping job, and devotee had a chisel and a hammer, and he was like knocking some concrete off these concrete slabs, and he looked like a stonemason, you know. And I was just remembering like how you have stonemasons, they make things out of stone, and things were like crafts, you know. It was a real art. If you go to India, it's more prominent there. People do things by hand, you know, even for very cheap prices, very elaborate, like deity dresses, for instance, so much embroidery they do, very fine. So for us, that's our consciousness over this lifetime, that over years we're honing our consciousness and we're going step by step, refining it, coming against different obstacles, but seeing how can I take a Krishna conscious approach to it. And we should see over the years that it gets better. Because otherwise, right, where is the efficacy of the holy name? The holy name is potent, right? Who believes here that the holy name is powerful enough to deliver us, right? We believe the holy name is powerful enough, but are we able to transform from that ant with the laptop? Like, okay, the laptop is here, the ant is here, what's the connection? Like, almost zero. It's like anamoya. That's the connection. The ant will try and eat something from it. Can we come up higher? You know, can we evolve through the different species? The holy name has been given to me. I chant it inattentively. Okay, that's fine. Good first step, you know. You got the holy name. You're chanting it. You're chanting Nama Parad. Okay, next. Nama Bas. We're chanting the holy name. Preferably in the morning or the evening, as Srila Prabhupada says. And other things are coming. Other material desires are coming, naturally. But then we're coming back, you know. We're coming back as soon as we think of something else, we're coming back to the holy name. And then, and this isn't something that's like a million miles away, then you're chanting the holy name, and you're just chanting the holy name. You're not thinking of other things. You're chanting the holy name, and you love the holy name. You're chanting the holy name, and you just want to chant the holy name. You don't want to do anything else. And it's just the best thing in the world. So for devotees, that's not a million miles away. It's attainable, and it's right there. So we should have faith in that, because unless we're going to be total mercy cases, then otherwise we're not going to get to the kingdom of God. We'll get the description, but we won't get the destination. You know, it's like walk past a travel agent, Tenerife, £499, 5 nights in a hotel. Nice, you know, got the description, but you got to get on the plane, and getting on the plane is not, you know, much fun. You want to get there, you know, swim in the sea, eat the food, sleep in the hotel, have some fun. So it's possible, but we have to become Krishna conscious. Like Prabhupada said, most of my disciples will go where? To heaven. Why? Because you got to be honed in. Krishna's going to give you what you want. And the holy name is powerful enough to purify us. But if we're just an ant on a laptop, it's like there's no connection, you know. It's like they say, anyway, I'm not referring to any of the Vaishnavas here. I'm only referring to myself, but giving, sowing jewels before swine, you know. Is that the exact how they say it? Casting pearls before swine. It's like, there's a pig, you could throw pearls on the floor. What's it going to do? You sniff them. It's not going to, you know, put it in its pocket, go to the bank, you know, cash it in. It just doesn't get what it's all about. It doesn't get it. So for us, we need to get it. Everything is here already. We have the holy name. Goloka Premadana Harinama Sankirtana. Rupa Goswami says the holy name is more merciful than Krishna. Sometimes Krishna is called the form of the holy name, putting the name in a higher position than Krishna. You've already got it. Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto Binatva Nama Namanaho. What more do we want, you know? Nama Chintamani. It's Chintamani. It'll give you everything you want. What more do we want? We have the kingdom of God. Purna is full. Shuddha is, it's pure. Nitya Mukto, it's eternally liberated. Binatva Nama Namanaho, it's not different than Krishna. We have everything. It's just a matter of us assimilating it, becoming compatible with the holy name. And then when you do, when you're one with the holy name, then this is all a consequence of that. Then of course you're going to go to Vaikuntha. Where else would you go? I'll just say one last thing. Often we hear this term like unalloyed devotional service, pure devotional service, or mixed devotional service, that we could all make up a pie chart at home, you know, or internally. Like, how mixed is it? Is it 60% mixed? You know, we come to devotional service because we're suffering usually and we want relief. And devotional service gives you relief because the soul needs spiritual activity, doesn't need material activity. So you feel better, right? Helps better than counseling, better than drugs, better than alcohol, better than anything. Devotional service, cut down your misery. Good first step. Next step, we have material desires, and then higher than that, we want to please Krishna. So we can see internally, like, how mixed is my devotional service? Is it all about pleasing Krishna, like Srimati Radharani? Whatever Krishna wants, Ashlishya Vaparavatam Panashima, whatever Krishna wants, is that our consciousness? We can see internally. Is it, I want to get purified? That's devotional service in the mode of goodness. Is it, I want to enjoy or avoid suffering in the material world through my devotional service and its mode of passion? So we can see internally where we're at, and then gradually purify that, comes closer to unalloyed, right? Not mixed with anything, pure and pure and purer. And then this will be naturally be our destination in the spiritual world. Thank you for your attention. Does anybody have any comments or questions, realizations? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji. Regarding that point of yours wherein you're mentioning even after many years, sometimes we find devotees are anxious, they are disturbed because they have not followed the process rightly. So when we see such behaviors in some senior devotee, let's say this devotee has a habit of going around telling everyone off, and so one reasoning what we give is, oh, because they are so attached to Krishna, they cannot see anything going wrong in the service of Krishna, so we should give them the benefit of doubt, like that. But how correct is to reason it this way? Because if we do it, then this is the trend we are setting, that once we are becoming senior, it's okay to go around and tell people off. So how correct it is to give benefit of doubt when see some discrepancy in behavior, or we should talk and discuss that, oh, this behavior is wrong, it should not be followed, and maybe someone should reach out to that senior and give feedback also.
Yeah. If we don't have any responsibility, then we can be like that quote I said from Radhanath Maharaj, just humbler than a blade of grass, right? Doesn't matter what you do to me, I deserve it, I deserve a lot worse. But if we're in some position of taking responsibility, whether it's official or unofficial, but generally official, then you need normal behavior, right? We need to behave normally amongst devotees. So, yeah, we have to be normal. One time I asked my spiritual master, before we got married, I said, Maharaj, that, you know, it's said that a woman, if she's attached to her husband, then is elevating, or she'll take birth as a man in her next life, or it's good, or she'll go back to Goloka if he goes to Goloka. But I said, what about a man if he's attached to his wife? Then what will happen? I was thinking that you should be married and be like totally detached, totally Krishna conscious. And he said, just be normal. He said, devotees just have to be normal sometimes, you know. Which didn't help me that much philosophically with the situation, but it was an interesting instruction. So for ourselves, we don't mind, right? Somebody comes, tells us to do this, do that. Like Ramachandra Puri, what did Lord Chaitanya do? He didn't say, what's the matter with you? He just took it, he cut his eating in half, although he hadn't been doing anything wrong. So he sets the example. But if it's not normal behavior in the Brahmachari ashram and it's affecting younger devotees, or it's affecting devotees, then it should be brought up in the correct, cultured way. Maybe not that you go to that senior devotee and grab him by the quarter and say, you know, what's the matter with you? But you mention it to another senior devotee who's senior to him and say, look, I'm just revealing my mind. It seems to me that this devotee is not acting appropriately. What do you think? If you like, you can do something about it. So we shouldn't live like in the mode of ignorance, like with blinkers on like a horse, that it's not happening, especially if it's affecting others, no matter how senior they are. Like I said, we had senior devotees in our movement, right? And gurus, sannyasis acting incorrectly. So what to speak of, you know, a senior brahmachari or senior grihastha in our community? Is that okay? Anything else?
Thank you for your stimulating class. First one, just...
Was that it?
No. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is Kasturi Manjari.
Thank you.
On your last point, one time there was a devotee wanted to understand what was going on with very senior devotees leaving the movement. And they did a survey, asked them what was going on. And many of them said, it's kind of, I was lonely, I had no shiksha, I was kind of having to be the leader, and I didn't have any shelter myself. It's interesting, I don't know what the solution is. I do have a question. As you mentioned, so many devotees leave, and we can see it's due to aparad. But we also have another dynamic where sometimes devotees leave a particular center because there's a problem with the center. And I'm wondering, is it helpful to tell those devotees that's your aparad, that you've left that place? But maybe they've kind of been driven out almost by not so good management. It's kind of ultimately it's their karma, right? But at the same time, what do we tell these devotees? Is their aparad or not? I don't know how to deal with these things.
It's their aparad, I don't understand. You said devotees leave a center because the situation is not so good?
Yeah, but we then blame them and say, oh, you've left the movement. And we're thinking, yeah, but I left because I was abused or something. And then we say, well, it's still your aparad. I mean, it's kind of hard to take. If someone leaves due to something that someone mistreated them, we say, well, you're an aparadi, that's why you left the movement. And they're like, well, I was mistreated.
Yeah, well, that's not that aparad, right? If they were mistreated, they didn't do anything. You mean they stopped practicing Krishna consciousness? Yeah.
Sometimes that tends to happen. If they get mistreated and they leave, then they lose association and they become disillusioned and they actually do give up as well.
Yeah, Prabhupada said it's 50%. If somebody leaves, it's 50% our fault and 50% their responsibility. But I guess it depends on the situation. Prabhupada, in different situations, he wouldn't acquiesce. He wouldn't, like, if ladies came to him and said they're mistreating us women, he would say, and you know, it's difficult and it's a problem and we can't become Krishna conscious because of that. He would say, well, you're never going to become Krishna conscious if you think you're a woman. Right? He wouldn't, I'm not saying we should mistreat women, but he would help people take responsibility for that situation, right? Because we're our own worst enemy. So if there's somebody, say we get abused in some kind of way, and then we leave Krishna consciousness, okay, the abuse shouldn't have happened, and that is wrong. But it shouldn't, you have to take responsibility for how you react to that as well. So, Savai Pum Sampuro Dharmo Yato Bhakti Adat Hokshuje Ohoitiki Yapati Hata Yenat Masu Prasidity, right? It's causeless, so whatever happens, we're going to carry on. And we'll all experience that in devotional service. Okay, someone's rude to you. Are you going to carry on? Yeah, I can do that. Okay, have a nervous breakdown in Krishna consciousness. Are you going to carry on after that? Can you do that? Yeah, I can do that. Okay, Krishna's like, okay, you're doing good. You know, like your wife leaves you. Are you going to carry on Krishna consciousness? Your guru leaves you. Whatever it is, you know. Are you going to carry on? And when do we say no? So many people do that. Like in the Second World War, ladies' husbands went to the war and they were praying, God, please look after my husband. The husband dies and they become atheists. So it's up to us. Ultimately, it's our responsibility. If something happens to us, yeah, it's our karma. But like Ananta Chuchipu was saying, it doesn't mean that we don't address that. So say there's some senior brahmachari who's going around being nasty to all the younger brahmacharis. For myself, I don't mind, but I may well talk to the authorities because he's being horrible to the other brahmacharis, and that's not right. I take responsibility for myself, but also we can act to rectify that situation to some degree. But the main thing is that dealing with ourselves, right? What's the contract that I have with Krishna? Yeah, I don't mind trying 16 rounds, but if my guru leaves, I'm going to leave too. Well, that's not pure devotional service. Right? Pure devotional service is Ahoitikiya Pratihata. Radharani doesn't have any contract. Prahlad Maharaj says, if I want something, if I do something for you and I want something in return, he said, that's not devotion, that's business. I don't need anything for my devotional service. And Krishna will like, don't worry. Krishna's going to test that contract. Krishna's going to push it, you know. Okay, where is the Krishna's looking? Okay, where's the small print, you know? Okay, you say you're a devotee, you're coming to Mangalati. Where's the bit in the back, you know? Where's the little bit that says, okay, but clause 14.4, if someone says I'm stupid, then I'm going to join a different temple, or I'm going to chant 15 rounds. You know, like, how mixed is our devotional service? How pure is it? And we don't know until we get pushed and we get tested. Like, how much weight can it take? Like, they test cars, right? Smash them against a wall. How much did it break? Can you use it after that? How much can you test it? How much pressure can it take? If it's just like, the car's just like trundling on afterwards, you know, it's like smashed up, one wheel left, it's still going on. Yeah, pretty good car. Not that Krishna wants to destroy us, but he just wants to purify us of material desires. Nisingadev's like, take it all out, get rid of that, you know. Get rid of that, you don't need that attachment to ice cream, you know. You don't need that attachment to some woman's body. You don't need that attachment to some man's money. You know, you don't need that. I'm everything. Mayata dhammidam sarvam. I'm everything. I am that man's money. I am that woman's beautiful body. I am that supposed comfortable, secure situation in Dubai. Whatever it is we're attached to. It's me. It's Krishna. Prabhupada was there sitting at his table when the... What war was it? Second World War, I guess, or... It was air raid sirens, and everyone was scurrying to the air raid shelters. Prabhupada was sitting there at his table having lunch. He was saying, Abhay, come. Prabhupada says, what's the problem? Krishna is here as the table. He's here as the prasadam. He's here as the bomb. What's the problem? Right? That's no anatta. Bayam dvitiya binivesita syat. We have fear when we see two things. Bayam dvitiya abhinivesita syat. If we see everything as Krishna, then what's the problem, right? I'm not this body. I'm never going to be this body. So, if Krishna wants me in this body or the next body, who cares? I don't even like this body, it's a trip. I'd rather have a spiritual body or whatever Krishna wants. So, okay, I think we should have some breakfast. Thank you for your attention. Grantara Shrima Bhagavatam ki jai. Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki jai. Samavita Bhaktavinda ki jai.
Bhajans after prasadam.